heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you young among women, and blessed is the child you will bear."
But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished. And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted me up from the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, as he has said to our fathers."
Amen. Thank you, Leah and Boaz. And may the Lord bless the reading of His Word as we celebrate the theme of hope this morning. Well, if you'd like to just quickly turn with me to your bulletins before we dismiss for Kids Church, that would be great. That would be the pink paper here. And so I just want to just bring your attention to the excerpts of the departmental chair budget meeting and deacon board meeting on November 15th. So this is just an update for you to read on some of the decisions and some of the issues that were discussed. And then under the church news items here in the bulletin, just pay attention to the offering cutoff date, when exactly that is to happen, as well as the 2009 expense voucher cutoff date. So if you have any receipts that you have accumulated through the year in purchasing items for church activities, please do submit them by January 24th so that you will be reimbursed for the monies that you have spent. Another item I want to bring attention to is under prayer and praise. We want to just again praise the Lord for the Christmas fundraising dinner that happened last Saturday. So we had quite a few people come out, about 200 people, and we were able to raise approximately $3,000 for the Church Development Fund. So we want to give praise to God for that. Also, we want to remind everyone to pray for the community Christmas dinner on December 22nd. And that's the main one I want to really bring your attention to. So this year, as most of you know, instead of the traditional Christmas candlelight service that we've held, we're going to be holding a community Christmas dinner and program. So this is an event that we're partnering up with Vancouver Urban Ministries to bless their families that they minister to, as well as community members, families from this community. As of Friday, and this is the awesome thing, as of Friday, we already have 45 adults and children coming to our Christmas dinner on Tuesday night from the community. And so that's amazing that we're going to have that many people coming. Now, this evening isn't just for the community. This evening is also for you. And I really want to encourage everyone to come on out and celebrate Christmas together in a different way. There's obviously opportunities for volunteer, but also this is a time for your family to come and also be blessed and to enjoy this dinner. So I do really encourage you to come. So I want to quickly just bring your attention to the volunteers, the volunteer opportunities for this thing to happen. So as tomorrow, which is December 21st, if you happen to have a free Monday, if you happen to be on holidays already, this is a great time for us to be able to make most of the meal. So if you're free from 10 a.m. onwards, we're meeting at Broadway Church. And the only reason we're meeting at Broadway Church is because they have a really large kitchen that will be able to help us to cook about 12 turkeys and a whole bunch of hams. So a whole bunch of turkeys and a whole bunch of hams that we need to be able to cook. And so if you're able to come and help us to prepare that, that would be great. The other day, the next day, is the Tuesday, December 22nd. And that's where most of all the preparation, like the setup and everything, will happen. So again, if you're able to give a few hours or are able to come and help out, that would be great. So you got 2 days of opportunities to come. If you can give both days, that's great. If you can give 1 day, that's great. If you give a couple of hours, that would be appreciated as well. So we really would need your help in doing that. Also, lastly, I want to bring your attention to the prayer and praise item for number 3. We'd like to pray for Sue Low, as her missionary support is now pretty much complete, and she's been given the green light to go on her missions assignment, and her commissioning service will be January 31st, 2010. And so we've been praying for our sister Sue for a long time, and God has answered, and she's going to be going and fulfilling the call on her life in this way. So we want to give praise for that as well. At this point, we would like to dismiss the kids for Kids Church, and so all the kids, you're free to go. All right. It's still so sparse. You guys want to kind of get together a little bit, move a little bit to the closer? I'm going to come down a little bit. I think this is a little too far. So why don't we all kind of just squish in a little bit, you know, get a little cozy. Come on, it's okay. You can move. I feel so sparse. I know we have some families who are away already on vacation, so that's kind of probably what's happened here. But I really want to just have a little cozy feel and bring us all together here. So today we're going to be carrying on again in our third message here from the Advent series on the theme of hope. Basically, we've already covered a couple of names, as I mentioned before, but what we're going to be, one way to look at the themes of Advent anew is to look at the names of Jesus that we have learned through the Bible. We've talked about Jesus as the Lamb of God, you know, John chapter 1, verse 29, and that Jesus as the Lamb of God offers us true joy as the ultimate sacrifice for humanity's sin. You know, there's a lot of, there really is a joy in that truth, in that knowledge that Jesus is the Lamb of God. It's an encouragement for us to enter the Christmas season with an overwhelming passion to worship Jesus to the fullest. You know, as we talked about, as my wife was saying this morning, you know, all this commercialism and materialism can take us away, distract us from truly worshiping Jesus this Christmas season. Last Sunday, we talked about Jesus as Shiloh, Jesus as the resting place, Jesus as the peaceful one in Genesis chapter 49, verse 10. And amidst the activity of life, Jesus invites us to find refuge and peace in Him. He is, as Shiloh, the resting place, as well as the peaceful one. So that's what we've invited you today. We've invited you to come. Jesus invited you today to come and find resting place and find peace in Him. So this morning, we're going to be exploring another name here. We're going to be exploring another name in the Bible for Jesus, which is the root of David. And the significance of this name or title is that it bestows upon the events of Jesus' birth that we are coming, that's coming soon, that we're going to be celebrating. And the eventual return, the Advent, is the looking forward. And we fill this with the reality of hope. More precisely, this name, Root of David, identifies Jesus as the true hope of the nations. You know, I want to just skip a few slides here. And you know, unless you've been avoiding the news for a little bit, just keep on going. If you've been avoiding the news for a little bit, you will have known that for the past 2 weeks, there has been an important conference that's happened in the city of Copenhagen. Please tell me you guys are aware of this, right? Yes? Most people are aware of this? Good. Okay. And basically what's happened is that the nations of the world have gathered to find an equitable solution to slow down the rate of climate change. And the hope, this conference began with a lot of hope. The hope was that by the end of the 2 weeks, which ended yesterday, actually, and Friday, this equitable solution would be found. Because it was assumed that everyone had a similar interest. Everyone realizes that this is our one and only planet. We're not going to be moving to the moon anytime soon. This is it. This is all we have. And we have to do all we can to protect this resource, this God-given resource that we have. However, again, if you have been following this news event, news item, as the conference is coming to a close, ministers, organizers, leading advocates were getting discouraged and actually getting disillusioned. Because up to 24 hours, they had only 24 hours to go before the conference ended, and they still had not come to a peaceable solution, an equitable solution. They were starting to lose faith. They were starting to lose hope in the idealism of the conference. As most of us know here, hopefully, a deal was struck at the very last moment, but it was actually quite minimal in its impact. It really was nothing. It was just words on the paper. Some would say empty promises on the paper to make it so that the conference was kind of had achieved something. I share this event with you because it's an example of what the world is hoping for. What else is the world hoping for? The world is hoping for peace. It's hoping for an end to world poverty. It's hoping for equitable access to education for all. It's hoping for clean drinking water for everyone. You know, we are so blessed to live in Canada. There's lots of rain right now, lots of drinking water for us. But as most of us know, there isn't. There are places in this world where clean drinking water isn't that easily accessible. I truly believe this. I truly believe that the hope that the world seeks can be realized in Jesus and His church, His body, His disciples, you and I. You know, it's said that offering hope to someone is like offering, is like offering cake when someone is hungry. In other words, hope is just a nice feeling. But it doesn't really sustain you when bills need to be paid. When you wonder where your next meal is coming from. When you feel lonely. Or you feel that nobody cares. Hope is just a luxury when you have everything. Next slide, please. You know, 2,000 years ago, a young teenager was hoping that she and her husband would find a place. Any place. But they were really hoping for a safe place to find rest. Because they had nothing. They had nothing but the clothes on their back and their belongings on the donkey. She was 9 months pregnant, and they were traveling through dangerous territory to return to her husband's place of birth. His place of heritage to register his family. Now, it was a busy time to travel. It was made all the more worse by the political and the military unrest in the region. Her people, the Jews, were being incited to rise up against the oppressors, the Romans. But they were looking for a leader. They were looking for a suitable leader. As the prophecies had foretold, the Messiah, the one who would save them, the one who would lead them. You know, this teenager, she knew of these prophecies too. Next slide, please. The prophecies that were written by the prophet Isaiah. In that day, the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for the peoples. The nations will rally to him, and his place of rest will be glorious. Isaiah 11, chapter 11, verse 10. In Jeremiah, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up to David a righteous branch, a king who will reign wisely and do what is just and right in the land. Jeremiah 23, verse 5. And the promise that was made to King David, your house and your kingdom will endure forever before me, Your throne will be established forever. 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 16. However, these prophecies and promises took on new meaning after her encounter with the angel Gabriel. And you guys know who I'm talking about. I'm talking about Mary here. You can read this entire account in the Gospel of Luke. She would learn that she was not only going to be carrying and going to bear the hope of the nation of Israel. She was also going to give birth to the hope of the nations. This hope is captured in her song, Mary's song. That was today's Advent scripture reading, Luke chapter 1, 46 to 55. Do we think that Mary's hope was a luxury? Mary's hope was not a luxury. When she thought she had nothing, in fact, she had everything she needed. She had assurance from an angel. The Spirit of God was upon her. She had a supportive friend in her cousin Elizabeth. They met a friendly innkeeper. You think all these things happened by chance? See, hope is not a feeling. It's not empty words. Hope is offering the truth in action. Mary knew the truth. The people of Israel knew the prophecies. The angel came and he spoke truth into her life. But that's not all he did. He gave her a promise. You know, God gave a promise to Mary. And he acted on it. God gave his people a promise, the nation of Israel. And he acted on it. It's not maybe what they expected, but he acted on it. See, this is what the world and everyone in this room, our neighborhood, our city needs to have in real hope. See, God gives us promises, but he doesn't give us promises which are empty. He gives us promises and he acts on them. So we're not just talking about offering false hope. He's asking us to be He's giving us his hands, his feet. He's asking his people, when we offer hope, we're not just offering empty words. We're called to be his hands and his feet. Now, I'm going to switch gears for a second here. Now, how many of you here have heard of the series Flash Forward? Anyone? Some? Yes? Okay. So, the story, for some of us who don't know what it's about, is basically this. See, at the beginning of the TV show, the series starts off with basically everyone in the world getting a glimpse of their future. Everything kind of stops for a second. They kind of get this like 1 minute glimpse into the future. And then the rest of the series, the rest of the episodes, then deals with the different characters and how they change or accept their future. Some people learn that they will die. One woman discovers she's going to end up cheating on her husband. Another man is going to learn the truth of what happened on that day. Like, there's just different storylines in this entire series. But you see, the TV series actually explores a very essential question for all of us. And I'm sure we've all thought about this at one point in time. If you could know your future today, if you could get a glimpse of your future today, what would you do about it? Would you change it? Would you accept it? Would you run from it? Would you avoid it? Would you ignore it? Would you tell others about it? See, the book of Revelation is something like this. And this is where our main text is going to be coming from today, and where we get the name, the root of David. See, the book of Revelation is a flash forward. It's a glimpse of the future for humanity. And it asks us, if you could know your future today, what would you do about it? Would you change it? Accept it? Run from it? Avoid it? Ignore it? Tell others about it? Traditionally and historically, Christians and non-Christians have approached this book with a measure of fear, curiosity, uncertainty. Or maybe some of us here even today are just unsure of what to make about the book of Revelation. You know, if nothing else, the book of Revelation serves as a great content for end of the world movies and disaster and horror movies, all this evil stuff that comes out. You know, it serves as great content for that. And I think that's the problem. We focus so much on the doomsday judgment of man. And we argue and we speculate what the seals are, the trumpets, the bowls, the four horsemen of the apocalypse, the beasts. What do all these things mean? You know, it's just funny. Just recently, I was watching the History Channel, and they were spending a whole episode on the book of Revelation, talking about all these things. And I kept thinking to myself, they're missing the point. They're so focused on trying to understand all these different imagery, trying to foretell, trying to forecast, is it this, is it that? You know, ludicrous idea that maybe Obama is the Antichrist. I don't know. I mean, they want to speculate. They want to think, they want to say, what are these things? Nuclear warfare, is this what we're talking about? They miss the point that the book of Revelation is primarily a book of hope. It was written for Christians as a book of hope. It was to give us hope. So we turn to chapter 22, which is the final chapter, and as I said, where our key verse comes from today, Revelation chapter 22, verse 12 to 16. Let me read that for you this morning. Behold, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to everyone according to what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may go through the gates into the city. Outside are the dogs, those who practice magic arts, the sexual immoral, the murderers, the idolaters, everyone who loves and practices falsehood. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you this testimony for the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. You know, personally, I've come to learn that what a person really means to say, what they really want to say, is usually captured in the last few paragraphs of a letter, an email, or a book. And we see this quite often, actually, in the Apostle Paul. There's a lot of content in all his letters, but usually at the end, he sums it right up, and he tells you, if there's only one thing you get, this is the one thing you get. What we have in chapter 22 is Apostle John, the Apostle John, recording for his listeners Jesus' concluding instructions, statements about himself as the Creator, as the first and the last, the Alpha, the Omega, statements about the final judgment for those who believe in him, the victory that we will have, and judgment for those who do not believe. In fact, he even goes on to say, this is the final judgment and the final promise for his people, his church. Now, how I interpret these verses, as Jesus would say, though, I think he would be saying this. He'd be saying to us today, I will be back. I am coming back. There will be victory. There will also be judgment. This will happen as it is written, as assuredly as the promises that were made to Abraham and to David have come true in me. Now, to the first listeners who were primarily Jewish, Jesus proclaiming himself as the root of David assured them that the nation of Israel would have a special place in the kingdom because of the Abrahamic covenant. You can read this in Genesis chapter 15 when God makes this hopeful promise to Abraham. The Davidic covenant, how his line would carry on, and the new covenant in Jesus. This gave them hope. You know, for the nation of Israel, there's this fear that God would just totally destroy them for what they had done, for walking away from Him, from turning their, from the truth and going their own separate ways. And here Jesus is saying there is a place for the nation of Israel. It gave them hope. It gave them assurance that what happened through Jesus was true. God gave a promise. God kept His promise. He didn't just give us empty words. He acted on it. You know, the Bible commentary puts it this way. It says the Messiah, the root of Jesse, the root of David, will be a means of rallying not just for the Israelite nation, but for the nations of the world. Jesus Himself made the same point that many people from outside Israel will have a part in God's kingdom. God had promised Abraham that through his line, all peoples of the earth would be blessed. Jesus, as the root of David, assures, gives hope to the nation of Israel because of the Davidic covenant. Same thing happens for the nations of the world because of the covenant that was made with Abraham. And this is important for us today. This assures us, this gives us hope today. True hope. You see, we have in this chapter, in this book, a glimpse of the future. We know of the victory. We know of the judgment. This is not a fantasy. This is a reality. And yet in this reality, there is hope. This does not have to be our future. God offers us the hope of eternal life, the hope of stability and security, the hope of purpose, and the hope of abundant life. You know, the Apostle Paul understood the reality of this hope in Jesus when he penned these words. Next slide, please. Regarding his son, who as to his human nature was a descendant of David, and who through the Spirit of holiness was declared with power to be the Son of God by His resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans chapter 1, verse 3 to 4. For by Him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things were created by Him and for Him. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. That gives us hope. God has a plan. God has a future. He is our Creator. He's the one who has purpose for our life. We have that true hope. I believe, you know, it's not enough for the church, for me personally, to offer the hope of Jesus just by words. Yes, people do need the free gift of salvation. They need to hear the hope of eternal life, the hope of security, the hope of love. I believe as His church, we are also called not just to give the words, but to live out those actions as well. I want to show this little video here for a promo called the Advent Conspiracy. I don't know, how many of you have heard of the Advent Conspiracy today? Nobody? A few people maybe? Nobody? Okay. The Advent Conspiracy is essentially a movement of Christians, of some churches in the States. And it wants us to help us to refocus again. What exactly is the hope that we have? The joy, the peace, the love that we have in Jesus. And it helps us to think about the fact that basically how we can offer hope in a real and tangible way. So I just want you to just watch this video and I'm going to carry on with the rest of the message. Thank you. inspire you? Every time I watch that video, I get inspired. You know, God's gift to us was a relationship built on love. So it's no wonder that all of us here are drawn to the idea that Christmas should be a time to love our families and our friends in the most memorable ways possible. Perhaps the greatest gift that we have at Christmas is time. Time is the real gift Christmas offers us. And no matter how hard we look, it can't be found in a mall. Maybe it's time to make a gift that turns into the next family heirloom. Maybe it's time to write a relative a letter. Maybe it's time to take the kids sledding or tobogganing. Maybe it's time to bake really good cookies and sing really bad Christmas carols. Maybe it's time to make God's love visible through relational giving. You know, the world is seeking hope. They look for it in government, in leaders, in position, in money, in status, in toys. But in Matthew chapter 12, verse 15, next slide, please. It says, "It is His name, the nations. It is His name the nations will put their hope." You know, Jesus is the true hope of the nations. Jesus is the true hope for you and I. So what I ask us today, what are you hoping for? How can you offer the hope of Jesus to someone this week? You know, I want to share this. I want to end with this story and maybe even a word of encouragement at the end there. You know, yesterday I was in the mall and yes, it really was crazy to see all shoppers just running around trying to search for that perfect gift. Immediately, you know, my family, you know, we were also looking for a few items and you get caught up in that trap of trying to find that gift to give them that big reaction. I met up with an old friend. His name is Paul Fast. Paul Fast and I used to go to the same church. He himself was a pastor. And he was actually a Salvation Army volunteer yesterday. And so he's the guy who's at the mall collecting donations for the Salvation Army. And Paul has always been the kind of guy who's always a half-full guy, you know. You know these people, right? Some people look at life half-empty, with a cup half-empty, or a cup half-full. And for Paul, he's one of these guys who always looks at life with his cup half-full. For him, it wasn't just such a simple thing as just going and just standing there and jingling some jingle bells and hanging around and waiting for people to come by and just drop money in the red bucket. For him, it was different. For him, this was an opportunity for him to do ministry. This was an opportunity for him to offer hope if someone needed that hope. And so one, he was telling me this story, and it kind of really hit me and it struck me and Shari and really put this into perspective of what we were doing at the mall. So he's standing there, and this young man comes up to him. He tells me the story. A young man comes up to him, and they start talking. And he asks the young man, says, you know, how is Christmas going, whatever. And the young guy goes, this is going to be a sucky Christmas. And I said, why? He says, what happened? He says, I've just been kicked out of my home. And Paul's like, well, what happened? Like, you know, did you do something to upset your parents or whatever? And this young man says, well, you know, I haven't been able to find a job. I know my parents are upset with me because, you know, I struggle with drug addiction and, you know, on and on it goes. So they had no choice. They had to kick me out. So then they start talking. And then Paul then says, you know, have you ever heard of the story of the prodigal son? And this young man says, well, kind of, sort of. Finds out he's gone. He was went to Catholic church for a while. They went to a Baptist church for a while, but then has just quit going to church. Period. So then Paul starts talking to him, and basically shares the story of the prodigal son to him. I think most of us here are familiar with that story. A man a boy who goes and basically squanders his father's inheritance, and ends up having to go back to his dad, and his dad forgives him, loves him. And so he's telling him all this story, and the young man is just really shaken up by this. And so then Paul then gives him his card and says, you know, if you just need anyone to talk to or whatever, you just have some questions, whatever, just give me a call. And so he gives him the card. And the young man goes on his way. 3 days later, Paul gets a call from this young man's mother. And turns out the young man went home, apologized, and has now gone back into rehab, or has gone into rehab for the first time in his life. Paul took the time that day, instead of just sitting back and just collecting donations for the Salvation Army, which is a good thing to do, but he took that opportunity to offer hope to a young man who had no hope this Christmas. So I really encourage us this week, think about how each and every one of us here can offer hope to someone who's looking for it. You know, I'm not kidding when I'm saying this. You know, this Tuesday, I know I'm plugging this, but I really do hope this is something that will be a tradition for us at Pacific Grace as that we start. But you have an opportunity to offer hope to some families this coming Tuesday. You have a chance to donate some gifts. Go home today. If there's stuff in your house that you haven't used, or you have some extra gifts, bring them in tomorrow, and we'll wrap them up, and we'll give it to these families, their children. And as I said before, you may not have the time to come all day on Monday and Tuesday, and just a few hours, you can come and help to make a meal. And that meal will offer hope to a family, because this might be probably one of the only meals they get this week. We have an opportunity to offer hope. Hope that's not just empty promises, but hope that's in the real thing. We have that ability to offer the real thing because we know Jesus lives in us. And we have that hope. So I really encourage us this week, think about that. How can we offer hope to someone this week? Let's pray. Father God, I just thank you again for your love and for your grace. I thank you for this time that we've been able to share as a family, as a body of believers, rejoicing in the hope that you have given us. And this is a hope that's not built on fantasy. This is a hope that's built on reality. Your Son came. Your Son died for us. Your Son cleansed us. Your Son gave us a hope in the future. Father God, I pray today that as we get caught up in all the business and the activities of this week, may we find that time. May we find that time to offer hope. Let our eyes be opened, let our hearts be open with those around us. And let us be sensitive to your Holy Spirit's leading to know how we can offer hope in this time and this place. Father, we invite you to come. Let us remember the real reason for the season. In Jesus' name, pray. Amen. Shall we sing Joy to the World again this morning? Yeah? All right. You want to come up? All right. So, hymn 69. Okay. I think this time we're a little bit more woken up, and hopefully we're inspired. So, sing with all your heart. Sing with all your soul. And I will try my best to not sound like a broken record or a toad. Let us stand. King. Let every heart prepare He rule, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and heaven and nature sing. Joy to the earth, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ, wild fields and floods, rock hills and plains. Repeat the sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy, repeat, repeat the sounding joy. No more let sins and sorrows grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make His blessings flow, for us the curse is found, for us the curse is found, for us the curse is found. He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nation prove the glories of His righteousness, and wonders of His love, and wonders of His love, and wonders of His love. Amen. Please be seated. At this point, I'd like to invite the ushers to come forward, and we will receive the offering this morning.
It's okay. Don't worry about it. I'll just do it.
All right. Let's pray for the offering this morning. Father God, we just thank You again that You are definitely the joy of this world. Father God, may You bless us this week as we bless the offering, Lord, as You have blessed us this week. May it be used to the furtherance of Your kingdom. May we use these offerings to offer hope in the world that needs Your hope. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's rise for our closing benediction this morning as we conclude our service. Reading from Jeremiah chapter 23, the righteous branch. Reading from verse 5. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up to David a righteous branch. A king who will reign wisely and do what is just and right in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will live in safety. This is the name by which he will be called, the Lord our righteousness. May the Lord bless the reading of his word this morning. May the Lord bless you this week. May you offer hope where hope is needed this week. In Jesus' name, pray. Amen. So please come on downstairs for some hospitality, for some hot chocolate and all that good stuff. Gross. Where are we going?